just at the front end of my message, I want to encourage you as I was praying about the Kids Venture and also talking about MAT, which is Mothers and Tiny Tots, a ministry that's starting out. It's an opportunity to reach our community in partnership with the Pentecostal Church. And you see, we can use your help in a tangible way to help these young moms. You can assist them in this stage of life and also give an opportunity to love up on them. It's important for you to know that this ministry can only grow to the extent of the mentor moms who babysit and come alongside. I believe the scripture says that the older men are to teach the younger men and the older women are to teach the younger men or women. It's a biblical reason for that, because older women have been there, younger women. They remember what it was like to have young toddlers. And so I encourage you, if you've had that experience. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, there wasn't a MAP ministry when I was growing up and having my children, and I survived. Well, praise God, you did. But remember, you probably had a network with you that supported you. And so remember, these moms have necessarily no church affiliation, and our team are leading a ministry that builds a bridge to these people, these precious lives. So, friends, it takes more than a prayer to meet their needs. It may take that kind of a mentor to offer a change, to change a diaper and just unlock a door for a mom to hear about Jesus and how much that Jesus loves them. And as a Christian, you've experienced the love of Jesus, just like giving blood. Love's in you to give. And I'm no expert this morning. What I'm going to be sharing with you, I'm still learning as a grandfather, and even with my adult children, they're all very different. They all have very differing needs. But this morning, as we carry on in our series, No Ordinary Day, today I'm going to address a reality in parents' lives. What do I do with all the time I have to take driving my children to dance, to soccer, to hockey, to whatever event that requires you gulp down dinner and race to a commitment? Before I dive in today, I was listening to a great podcast by Pastor Andy and Sandra Stanley called Leadership and Parenting. There's two parts of it. It's a great, you can search it. You might want to find it helpful. And he really basically says there are four different stages of parenting. First one is ages 1 to 5, where they call those the discipline years. This is where you're teaching your children about the consequences of their behavior. The Stanleys only had 3 rules in their house. Don't be disobedient, don't be dishonest, and don't be respectful. Disrespectful. They called these the 3 D's. And by the way, they celebrated obedience, honesty, and respect. The second stage was ages 6 to 12, and they called this the training years. And this is where you're teaching them the why behind the what, where you're connecting the consequences to the behaviors, and you're helping them grow, and you're helping them see that when we make choices, there are consequences, and you're able to really kind of shape them and train them. And then there's the next stage, which is ages 12 to 18, where we call those the coaching years. And this is where you're a bit off to the sidelines, focusing on connecting more than correcting, but not being afraid to pull the teens off the field if they need to because they've pushed off. The key point here is allowing for natural consequences to happen. After all, they're going to be going into a big world, and you can't hover over these kids and protect them from everything. Broke down yesterday. I had a weak moment. I went to Marshall's to do some shopping. And while I was in there, I heard this voice, "They'll let anybody in here." And I looked over, and it was a friend of mine from another church that we had ministered to. And we were chatting together. And he was telling me about his son. And I said, "How is he doing?" He said, "He's great. We got him a cheap car that he could drive." And then he said, and then he decided to do something like all their other teenagers and do some drifting. Now, I had never heard of what drifting was. I said, "So what was the consequence?" He said, $3,000. I said, "Wow, isn't that a great lesson to learn? It only cost him $3,000. He said, "Oh yeah, absolutely." And he's working a Panago every night to pay it back. So that's what happens when you get to that level. Age 18 and on are what we call the friendship years. These are the golden years when you are friends with your kids and they want to come home even though they don't have to. So let's assume that you're in the taxi years from 1 to 15. What do you do? This morning I want to encourage you not to become bitter in your chassis, but to become aware of your car as being a classroom. Hear the words of Solomon in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. What do you despise, if you despise anything, the most about being a taxi service? Now, if you've had three children, you know what that means, especially if they're in three different things. Well, first of all, you give up your time and your choices because you've got to do it. Or secondly, gee, just fill in the blanks. What else do you give up? Every household goes through the phases of being a taxi service to our kids. And when you get a sick feeling in your stomach because I say, I can't wait, you can't wait till the kids drive themselves to something, then you're going to get a whole new load of sick feelings in your stomach when you hand them the keys to the car. Amen, parents? All right. I was hoping I wasn't just the only one. And when we realize it's much easier to sit in the driver's seat than sit at home fearful than when they're on the driver's seat. So rather than focus on them driving, let's just make sure that you've got good insurance so that you don't have to worry about those kinds of things. But use the car as an opportunity of a conduit of grace. Jay McGraw said this, if you don't talk to your child about the little stuff, they won't talk to you about the big stuff. I have to share with you a story about driving with one of my kids. And one of the great things about being in a car, folks, is you don't have to look them in the eyes. Right? When I was making these final preparations for this message, I was reminded of the day that my son turned 13, and it was time to have the talk. You know the one that dads have with sons? It was my plan that we would travel to a hotel about an hour away, and when we would arrive, while we were there, we would be listening to a James Dobson tape that I had found. And you can just picture the strain in my heart as I'm listening to this graphic tape describe all the needed information for young boys. And I'm just driving and keeping my eyes straight. Looking forward and hoping that Ryan wasn't going to ask me any question. We chatted when it was over. And then we arrived at our hotel, which I had made sure had lots of fun stuff to go to. And we had supper, and we got checked in, and we got up to our room, and I phoned home to let his mom know how it went. And then Ryan said to me, can I talk to her? And I said, well, sure. Then he gets on the phone, and these were his words I heard. Mom, do you know why Dad brought me here? Do you know what we talked about? So she said, did you talk about it? He said, yeah, we're done. Why don't you please come and rescue me? She came to the hotel and spent the evening with us as well. Wasn't always like that, but there were times when we were in the car and we would just use opportunities to invest. Here's what I want you to see today. Integrate transformation with your transportation. Change your focus from just being a taxi to be open to seizing the moments to instill holiness when it comes up with your children. It's not that you spend the minute you get in the car, you turn into the voice of God. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those opportunities where you just sense that there's an opportunity to share because of the questions being asked. Once again, take the ordinary opportunity of transporting your kids or your grandkids to grow together spiritually. So here's what I want to share together this morning. How do you turn your SUV into an MTV? Dr. Tim Elmore wrote a book called Nurturing the Leader Within Your Child. It's a great book. I encourage you to get that if you have children. It talks about being salt in your kid's life. And here's what it means. You see, you need to salt your children's lives by providing the roles of a host, a doctor, a counselor, and a tour guide. So the first thing is say anything. Say anything. This is the role of the host. This is to initiate and invite a conversation. And go beyond, how was your day? Because you know how that's going to answer. Okay. The second one is ask questions. Be the role of a doctor who pokes and prods. Good parents ask great questions. The third one is listen well. This is the role of the counselor who actively absorbs. Most of us listen, but the greatest communication problem is that we don't listen to understand. We listen to respond. Now, there's a reason for this. We can talk 125 to 150 words a minute, but you can listen to up to 400 words a minute. That is why we get so distracted so easily. Listening is a skill, friends. And then the last one is transition it to the truth. And that's your role as a tour guide who communicates key truths and gets the people to their destination. Many times when you're in the car, that's when you have those teachable moments. You don't plan them. They just happen. Let me show you an example from the scriptures. The Israelites were wandering in the desert, and Moses had died, and God said to Joshua, let's move to the promised land. And once again, the children of Israel are at the water's edge of the river Jordan. The waters miraculously opened up, and they walked over on dry land. It was the second time that this happened. While going through the riverbed, each elder was instructed to pick up a stone. So after they would get out of the riverboat, out of the riverbed, Joshua constructs a monument with these 12 stones. And then he says, it's in your notes in Joshua chapter 4. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean to you? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones will stand as a permanent memorial among the people of Israel. God knows children, and he knows that children will ask questions about a pile of rocks. You all know what they're going to go through at this stage when they ask why, right? Why does this happen? Why does this happen? Why does this happen? And why? Joshua said, when your kids see this memorial, make sure you know the answer. It's a demonstration of a deliverance and the power of God on behalf of Israel. This is when God showed up. Do you have those memorial stones in your spiritual experience where you know this is where God showed up and this is how you can share that with your children? Why was this such an issue for Joshua? Because he knew that if your children don't embrace your faith, they will be lost forever. See, in your notes, here's the issue. Your child or your family's eternity is at risk. Folks, please understand this today. Your children are the only appreciable assets that you'll ever take to heaven. Don't give up what is unique to you for something or someone else. For something else, someone else to do. What is unique is that you're a dad. No one can be your dad, but somebody can run the company. And if you do it right, somebody will run the company. Mom, no one else can be a mom to your children. That is a unique role. The rest you leave behind. So what should be your priority? Making sure you get to hockey or piano, or making sure that they get every opportunity to embrace the person of Jesus. Now, when it comes to kids' adventure or whether youth group, let me just speak to you parents here this morning. Make every effort to seize those opportunities for two reasons, not in your notes. So I was praying this through this morning. I said, the Lord, what is it that we need to be saying? Parents, two things. One, be positive. Encourage them to come. Encourage them to be a part of what's happening, whether that be downstairs for Kids Venture or whether that's with the youth group. Encourage them to go. And when they get down and they get a little bit negative, just be positive and say, listen, this is just an opportunity for you to grow in your faith. The second thing is be intentional. Help them make it a priority. I remember when I first started ministry, I had a father that came into my office. I was a youth pastor. I was 21 years old. The dad came in. He was a guard, one of the penitentiaries in Kingston. He came in with tears in his eyes, and I said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, "I need to let you know that I have given my whole life for my four sons so that they could play hockey." He said, "I thought we had the next star. They were so good." And he said, "What happened was by the time they got to high school, hockey wasn't important anymore. But," he said, "because I never gave them the foundation of God, they don't have a relationship with Jesus either." And he said, "If I could just turn back time." You can't change the past, my friend, but you can choose to make a brand new end. And my prayer is that during this series, you will take time to evaluate your personal and your family priorities. Look at what it says here. You cannot change your ancestors, but you can do something about your descendants. I love that quote. That's why it's in there. I love it. I'm not asking you to make sure your kids have religion. Religion's lifeless. But I'm asking you to live in such a way that it's authentic, that your children will have a desire to have the same kind of personal relationship with Jesus that you have. Phillips, Craig, and Dean wrote a song called "I Want to Be Just Like You." I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. But let me read you a stanza and a chorus. "He climbs in my lap for a good night hug. He calls me Dad and I call him Bub. With his faded old pillow and his bear named Pooh, he snuggles up close and says, 'I want to be just like you.' I tuck him in bed and I kiss him goodnight, tripping over the toys as I turn out the light. And I whisper a prayer that someday he'll see he's got a father in God, because he sees Jesus in me. Lord, I want to be just like you, because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you, because he wants to be just like me." Amen. Hear the words of Moses in Deuteronomy, my favorite words. When Moses had finished reciting these words to Israel, he said, "Take to heart all these words I have given to you. Pass them on as a command to your children so that they will obey every word of the law." This is my favorite verse. These instructions are not mere words. They are your life. By obeying them, you will occupy a long life in the land you are crossing the Jordan River to occupy. Underline these. These instructions are not mere words, but they are your life. This book has words, but it's more than that. It contains the message for you and your children that they need to go from an ordinary life to an extraordinary life because of your relationship with the living God. See, what I want you to see this morning is intentionally invest Jesus into your family. Have you thought about the kind of legacy that you're leaving with your kids? Have you thought about the potential you have in being used by God to point your children's friends to Christ? In his book, Who Switched the Price Tags, Tony Campolo related the words of an African-American preacher speaking to his congregation. "Children," he said, "you're going to die. One of these days, you're going to go down to the cemetery. We're going to drop you in a hole. We're going to throw some dirt on your face and go back to the church and eat potato salad." I love how they just graphically picture that, right? "When you were born," he continues, "you were alone crying and everybody else was happy. The important question I want to ask you is this: when you die, are you alone going to be happy leaving everyone else crying? The answer depends on whether you live to gain titles or testimonies. When they lay you in the grave, all people going to, are people going to stand around giving testimonies of the good things you did for them? Will you leave behind just a newspaper column telling people how important you were? Or will you leave crying people who have testimonies of how they've lost the best friend they could have ever had? End of quote. So when you're sitting in your SUV mumbling about how boring it is and how useless this it is to sit and wait for your kids and scroll, remember, this is your chance to pass on to your children and to their friends the greatest gift in the world, Jesus. I heard about a pastor who took a risky step. He was tired of seeing drug lords ruin his neighborhood. This drug lord would recruit the kids. And so he decided to do something radical, and he went down to where they were, and he asked the drug dealers how they managed so successfully in recruiting these people and turning them into an empty, dangerous life. The answer received from the top drug pusher in the neighborhood was simply piercing. He said, "I'm here. You're not." When the pastor appeared shocked, he went on, "When your kids go to school in the morning, I'm here, you're not. When they hang out at the convenience store in the afternoon, I'm here, you're not. When they need someone to feel strong and tough and to protect them, I'm there, you're not. I win, you lose. Mom and Dad, I'm not there, and neither are you. There's so much at risk today. Your children need more time, not less time." Tim Elmore in his book said this, "Although you'd never admit it, each day parents spend more time getting ready in the morning than they do getting their kids ready for life." And young people, I challenge you not to resist your parents' counsel. You see, God did not create parents for the sole purpose of making your life miserable. Hope that's a new insight for you. I don't know any parent who gets up in the morning and says to themselves, "Well, how can I make them miserable today?" You may not appreciate this today, but please pack this nugget into your cranium somewhere. Your parents are doing the best they know how, and when you become a parent, you will see this point clear, crystal clear. Amen, parents? Amen. Listen to the words of Solomon. Proverbs chapter 4 in your notes. "My children, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's way and lead you in straight paths. If you live a life guarded by wisdom, you won't limp or stumble as you run. Carry out my instructions. Do not forsake them. Guard them, for they will lead you to a fulfilled life." If you're a parent here this morning, please hear the hope that comes from this message today. Rather than just think that transporting your kids is tedious, consider it as an opportunity to import transforming messages of Jesus into the next generation. Remember what joy and freedom this message gave your life. Be committed to pass it on. Don't be committed to your vocation that you take a vacation from training up your children. Work will always be there. One day, your kids won't. One day they'll go to college, and you won't be there to control them. One day they will choose a life partner, and they may not ask your permission. But what you can leave in them is a relationship with you and with your Savior. Here's my challenge to you this morning. Make your SUV a place for MTV. Not the MTV you're thinking about, but about making your SUV a place for maximizing teachable venues. When the occasion arises, seize the moment to point your children to transformation because of Jesus. One of the greatest gifts you can give your children is to help them understand and accept that they are a somebody in Jesus. Instill self-worth within them. You can do that daily as you're driving them around. And speaking of MTV, some of you young people have to Google that. Madonna got her fame by MTV. And I heard a quote from Madonna in my research that speaks volumes to us as parents. Listen to this quote, and then I'll close. My drive in life is from this horrible fear of being inadequate and mediocre. It always pushes me and pushes me, because even though I've become somebody, I still have to prove that I am somebody. My struggle has never ended, and it probably never will. Friends, this is a tragic testimony, but so common in our world today, and maybe even common here in the homes in Vermilion. That's why I get up every morning and I thank God for the ministry of this church and the passion so many of you have to help inspire people into a growing relationship with Jesus. That's why we're here. Not to make our lives comfortable, but to love the community enough that we will walk across the road, walk across the room to give hope. And so here's the step. Make a commitment. In your notes is a prayer. Let me just read it to you. Father, help me to see that when I'm traveling in the car with my children, that you are giving me monumental teaching venues to pass my love for you to them in our daily activities. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we praise you this morning for how you provided us as parents and grandparents, opportunities to instill into our children and grandchildren truths that will draw them into a loving relationship with you. These are busy years with us, seeking to give our kids opportunities some of us never had. But help us to allow us the wisdom to not just drive them to activities that will drive them away from you, but to share with them the love and grace that you've parted in our lives so that we can impart into those the ability to love and trust you. I pray for those parents here this morning, those who are watching online. Draw them near to you. Inspire them as they grow in their relationship with you. Grant them opportunities in their SUV to inspire their children to love and to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.